It's a pleasure and a joy for me to be here with you ladies this morning. I'm thankful that no one's in the splash zone right here. That's good. Gives me a little more freedom to speak loudly and project a little more. if you guys don't mind, let's go ahead and pray for our time, and then we'll get into our lesson. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for today. God, thank you for placing us here in this moment together. God, we remember that you have purchased our lives, that we are no longer dead in our sins, but you have made us alive in you. What a privilege it is for us to be in this church. Lord, we are no longer outsiders, but Lord, you have brought us into the body. God, thank you for this lesson. Let us see that you are worthy of our whole life's commitment. God, thank you again for this day, and it's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Outlines are on the back table. If you haven't gotten one, please feel free to get up, move around, do what you need to do. There's great coffee, some good snacks. There's a lot to cover this morning that we're going to be looking at. Discipline 3, serving in the church. So let's go ahead and jump right into our outline. As we progress through EQ, we've learned that about the disciplines and the way, just by way of reminder, discipline 1 has to do with our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." We need to first and foremost be concerned about shepherding our own hearts. Remember our trifold pamphlet. That before we were saved, we could only sin and we were at enmity with God. But as we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. And because of Christ's atoning work upon the cross, he has made us alive in Christ. Think of Ephesians 2, "But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in him." Amen. So now that we are alive in Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin and under its control. But we are slaves to righteousness, and we have different desires now. We are now in this mixed condition. We are able to, by God's grace, serve him and please him, though we still sin, but are no longer slaves to it. We have a desire to know God and to live for him, to live in a way that is pleasing to him. And this, remember, it all takes intentional heart shepherding. We must be diligent in this matter. So this heart change has effects on those around us, and more importantly, discipline too, in our home. Care for our heart leads to care for our homes, and we don't want to play leapfrog over one or the other. Just skip over our heart to care for those in our house, or jump over our house to get to the ministries, to where we're serving in the church. So don't be a hypocrite in this. We expect our children to be self-controlled and to be obedient to commands given, but how are we doing in these same areas in our own heart? Don't neglect your heart, especially as you care for your household. In fact, it will go well for you in shepherding your heart with God's word, prayer, and the other means of grace, that this will only benefit your household and those around you. So out of this heart that is seeking to glorify God in all that it does, should flow faithful care over our homes and into ministry, which is D3. And in particular, our topic today of serving in the church. So we're going to look at God's intention for his children serving in the church. Let's look at the first point. So God's design for growth in the church. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, we're going to read verses 11 through 16. This passage is one we go back to often as God's description of how the church should function. God has specifically, in his wisdom, designed the church to be the conduit for Christian growth. And it occurs by Christians serving one another and being connected in love. The body truly does cause the growth of the body. Let me read verse 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Notice here, the shepherds and teachers aren't the only ones doing the work of ministry, right? Their shepherds, teachers are equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up. So now, recognize, not all of us are pastors, but we are all called to minister to one another. Some are given as shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And in verse 16, we see that the whole body, comma, all these things in the middle, makes the body grow at the end. So the body causes the growth of the body. When joined and held together and working properly, our devotion to Christ isn't on an island. We need each other. We were saved, but not just to be left alone. We've been brought into the church. God's designed it this way. The body needs you, and the body needs me. So in light of this, think through life decisions. What job should we take? Where should we move? What are the commitments to these things? I think in light of life decisions, if you say yes to this, you are saying no to something else, right? We all have busy schedules and full lives. Thinking about this point, I think through my career path over the last few years, and I think it'll help illustrate this. I went from working at GBC to working at J.E. Fuller, and then now at Gilbert Christian Schools. When Bethany and I first heard about the church plant and whether or not we should go be a part of Gilbert Bible, it was a no-brainer for us. We love the men that lead us, and we trust them, and they're planning a church closer to our house. Man, why not? Let's go. Again, I loved being on staff at Grace as the facilities manager, and we certainly loved being there. There's nothing there that would say otherwise, but it was time for me to get a new job. The elders at Grace were super gracious. They gave me a long runway to find something that would be suitable for our family. And so I started talking with Brian Eiserman about his company and if they were hiring. As I started making inquiries into J.E. Fuller and being on Brian's team, I knew that the work involved going out of town, being in remote places, four-wheel drive, doing really cool stuff on the side of a mountain. Man, sign me up. Camping for work. Let's do it. it was really, truly the best job that I've ever had on paper. It was awesome. And to be able to work with Brian was just an incredible blessing to me. But as I transitioned onto the J.E. Fuller team and I began to work and travel all over the state, Gilbert Bible was getting into full swing of planting and ministry starting up. And I found myself missing out on a lot of things during the week, like fellowship group and some of the early kickoff meetings that Bethany and I even hosted at the Agritopia Clubhouse. Like, I took this job to be a part of the church plant, yet I couldn't be there. So I found that the schedule certainly had its benefits, but more importantly, it had some downsides for me. I had taken this position to be a part of the church plant, but I missed out on so much of family and body life. It was truly a hard season. It was about 10 months into this new career path that I had hoped the learning curve would lessen and I would be used to being away from home, but that wasn't quite going away. So we had sought counsel. Bethany and I had been praying through it, and it wasn't until 6 months after that I found the posting about Gilbert Christian. and started making inquiries there and moving into that direction. It's always amazing for me to look back and to see the lessons that the Lord has been teaching me, and they're not always super clear or easy to take at the time, but to know that God is faithful, He's working. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. So where is church at on your priority list? Are we quick to bail on church or fellowship group because we've made so many other commitments during the week? It's good for us to think about, where do we spend our time? What does our schedules look like? Recently, Tyler's sermon from Matthew 6 on storing up treasures in heaven has been really encouraging to me. It's been super helpful. It's caused me to evaluate my own priorities and what things am I going after. I think one of those things that's been convicting is the idea of, what am I prioritizing in my schedule, and what is that teaching my kids about what about where the church and the body life should rank amongst these other things? How are we leading our homes? Remember, God's design for growth involves the church. As believers, we should desire and long for conformity to Christ, to be made more and more like Him. He died for us, therefore we want to live for Him. That should be our heart's desire. Turn with me, if you will, to John 15. John 15. We're going to popcorn to a couple verses here. John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. We'll see that the next point in our outline, believers bear fruit. Look down at verse 4 with me. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We must abide in Christ. And verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples, that we prove to be Christ's disciples and glorify God by bearing much fruit. The idea, again, that the body causes the growth of the body, it should be exhilarating to us as believers. This is God's design. Remember back to Ephesians 4, shepherds and teachers equip the saints for the work of ministry. God has designed the church to be the catalyst for our growth and to be made more like Christ. We need the body, and the body needs us. Next, let's look at that second point in our outline, the proper motivations for service in the church. What should drive our service at the heart level? Turn with me to 1 Peter 4. We're doing a lot of turning in Scripture. This is great. It's been helpful for me to sharpen my sword skills. Just in case I can't find something, I have it in my notes, thankfully. So, 1 Peter 4. 7 through 11. So 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks, oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The culmination of all things is coming. Jesus is returning. There should be an urgency here in our life. Are we doing heavenly things? Or are we earthly-minded, doing earthly things? Where is our treasure at? So get after it. Don't assume that we are guaranteed tomorrow. Be sober-minded, be self-controlled, love one another. Verse 10, each received a gift, use it. And remember at the end, verse 11, it's all for God's glory. This leads us to the other point, love for God. Mark 12, 30 through 31 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, heart, soul, mind, and strength. I also think of John 14, 15. It says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. As believers, we will have heart's desire to love God more than anything else in this life. This love for God will flow into a love for one another, and we should desire to put others above ourselves, to serve others, to carry out the one another commands that we see in Scripture. How else can we do these one another's if not in the church? Also, consider this, it's not humility to think your service to the church doesn't matter or that you don't need it. As we'll discuss more later, we are all unique parts in the body of Christ. The next point on our outline, desire for Christ to be known by the unbelieving. John 13:35. By this, all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The church should look different than the world. The world, when it sees the love that we have for one another, should be able to tell that we are followers of Jesus. We are different. We have hope. We have been redeemed. We have been made alive with Christ, Ephesians 2. And one of the ways this practically plays out is in our own homes with our kids or non-believing family members, right? The way we love one another is yet another testimony and witness of God's grace. Well, that's Dad over there. He used to just sit on the couch and watch football, but God saved him. And now he wants to serve in the church. He wants to go to small group. Or Mom used to not do this, but now she does because of Jesus. What's up with that? That's amazing. It's all about his glory, right? Next point, we'll talk through rewards. 2 Corinthians 5:10 states, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. The we in this verse refers to all believers, and this is a reference to the Bema seat judgment. This is the judgment of believers for rewards for what they have done, whether good or bad. One commentator's insight on this good or evil, good or bad concept is helpful. He says the Greek terms do not refer to a moral good or evil, but because we know matters of sin have been completely dealt with by the death of our Savior, but rather Paul was comparing worthwhile, eternally valuable activities with useless ones. These rewards are all for God's glory too. They're crowns to cast at Jesus' feet. I know that I need to have these reminders in front of me all the time. My perspective could shift sometimes just that quickly. And I need to remember these proper motivations to serve. I need to remember that Jesus is coming back. We need to get to work. I need to remember that I am no longer a slave to selfishness, but I'm to love God and to love one another selflessly. Next, let's look at the hindrances to usefulness in the body. Hindrances. God wants to use the believer for his purposes and wants to produce fruit through our lives. However, if sin overtakes our lives and becomes patterned, we squander the fruitfulness of service. To think our own fleshly indulgence in private does not impact the body is simply foolish. Fleshly distractions must be starved in order to put ourselves in the position of maximum blessing. And when we do this, the blessing from God is upon us individually as we walk in holiness, but it is also a benefit to our homes and to our body, to the body of Christ. So that first hindrance we come to is wickedness. Wickedness, if you could turn to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. I love this section. It is so good for us to have it in front of us. This is like Christian Living 101 here. So let's read the passage together. It's 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 22. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Simply put, abstain from wickedness. Be ready to be useful for every good work. Be fruitful in the next step you take and the step after that as you pursue Christ. This is discipline one type stuff. Keep shepherding your heart with God's word. Love God's people. And remember, we need each other. Whatever the task at hand, whatever the need of service might be, we should never be content with us not being the right person for the job because of a deficiency of character. Saying it this way, you may be perfectly gifted to serve in a particular way that would really bless the church, but you have some rather glaring sin issue. That would be a hindrance to your service. It's time to get to work and pursue holiness. The next point, our outline, laziness. Laziness, a hindrance. This one in particular can be a struggle for me. I tend to desire whatever is easy or comfortable. And you know what? Sometimes serving in the church takes a lot of sacrifice. If you are serving with the wrong motives and you become weary when things get a little tough, you will flame out. So seek to honor the Lord through your service. It's constantly on my mind. I need to be killing sin or it will be killing me. Remember, this is for his glory and not our own. I'm reminded often of Ephesians 6, 7. And when I was a young man, I memorized it in the NIV, which is really helpful here. It says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. This has been my companion ever since I was about 16 years old, to have this on my mind, that I'm doing things unto the Lord, not for men. Again, he is worthy of our whole life devotion. Some other verses for consideration, Proverbs 18:9 and Ephesians 5:16. 18:9 says, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. And 5:16 is making the best use of time because the days are evil. Now remember, these three points of hindrances to service in the body, they're not in silos. We don't master laziness and not have selfishness going on at the same time. We need to be working on all these. But let's look at selfishness. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Remember that we will see that we're unique in the body of Christ. You have a unique usefulness in the body when you die to yourself. Are we simply consumers in the local church? Is it about what the church can do for me? Or it should be the exact opposite. We should be striving to be more like Christ. I think our elders model selflessness so well. I think of all Tyler does and the ways that he serves us so faithfully. He is a great example of selflessness. Most Saturdays, he is the first at the church and the last to leave. Kendall as well is exemplary in this. There's lots of sacrifice and selflessness exhibited by them. I love being a part of Gilbert Bible because we get to see and work alongside all these people. What a great opportunity to take inventory of our usefulness unto the Lord. For me, I need to evaluate often, am I idolizing comfort or security or ease of life? What am I truly living for? Am I living for myself, for wickedness, laziness, selfishness? Or am I building towards things that will last into eternity? I need to remind myself that getting up a little bit earlier and committing to spending time with the Lord and in the Word and prayer, man, it can be really difficult, but it's worth it. It's worth every sacrifice. I need to tell myself that all the time. So now we just went over the hindrances to usefulness in the body. Let's look at the flip side, aids to maximizing your usefulness in the body. So aids to maximizing your usefulness in the body. We are called to exercise our gifts according to the measure of Christ's gift, Ephesians 4:7, and according to the proportion of your faith, Romans 12:6. We are to actively pursue spiritual growth. Actively pursue spiritual growth. This is sanctification. As we saw earlier in 2 Timothy 2:21, let me remind us. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. We should desire that. We should desire to be useful. We should be pursuing spiritual growth. Another verse, section of scripture for consideration, 2 Peter 1, 5-8. And I'll just highlight verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a time many years ago when I was more on the periphery of the church. I was inconsistent in the word and body life. It just wasn't my first priority. More of a lukewarm believer at this time. Sure, we went to church on Sunday in small group, but it wasn't a passionate chasing after the Lord. I saw those things exponentially change when I got the opportunity to work at GBC as facilities manager. Now, listen, we can't all get jobs cleaning toilets or changing light bulbs at the church. But what that vocation allowed for me is an immersion into body life. Now, the secret isn't get a job at the church. The secret is immersion into body life. Being around God's people. It helped me being around these men. It challenged me to lead my family in loving the church, in loving Christ more. The body was truly causing the growth of the body. I took Build again, and Bethany took Wellspring again. It helped in our faithfulness to attend fellowship group, to share our lives with our brothers and sisters in Christ. There was iron was truly being sharpened. So remember, we have these same opportunities today. You've all signed up for taking EQ, which is awesome. What a gift it is to have one another in each other's lives, walking through this life together. This leads us to the next point in maximizing our usefulness. Number two, rejoice in God's sovereignty over the gifting of the body. God determines the diversity of the body. So we should rejoice in the way that God has sovereignly gifted you. Remember, we are all spiritual relatives, individual members of one another, interlocked with one another, and attached to Christ, the head. And God calls us to function within this diverse crowd. We are not in competition against each other. We need to praise God for the work that he's doing in each other. Have you ever felt this bitterness creeping in? I know I have. When you see a dear friend being asked to serve in this way or that way within the church, we need to crucify that sin in our hearts. We need to rejoice with our brother or sister in the way that God is uniquely using them. We need to be shepherding our hearts and spurring one another on to love and good deeds. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll read 4 through 7 and verse 11. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. We need to remember that God gives gifts as he pleases. These gifts are for the benefit of the body, and this is where the Lord has you in this current season. One reminder for my heart is to not be discontent over where the Lord wills. Verse 11. God is sovereign over our gifting. We are to get to work unto the Lord. Lean into it. Also, let's recognize the interdependence within the body. Look down a little further at verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. I love being at Gilbert Bible and being so greatly benefited from men like Josh, Tyler, and Tom. But remember, Gilbert Bible needs more than just one of these men. The body is all of us, and we are to function in the unique way that God has gifted us. The body parts have different functions. We have those of us who are more like an eye, and there are some of us who are more like a foot, and then there's this extremely rare gifting of foot and mouth, kind of like me. Just kidding. So let's look back to chapter 12, and specifically verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No part of the body can say to another, I have no need of you. No single individual is God's unique, comprehensive gift to the body, making others unneeded. In fact, this kind of thinking is like a cancer to the body. We must not allow pride into our thoughts, into our hearts. We know that God opposes this one, but he does give grace to the humble. I heard a pastor say recently about service in the church. Now, this is a loose quote, but it says, you may think you are God's gift to the church, but it's actually the opposite. The church is God's gift to you. So be humble in your service. Seek to be a sweet aroma to the Lord. One of the many things I look forward to about serving is during setup and teardown, right before we get started, we'll pray, and it's on my mind a lot to be a sweet aroma unto the Lord. To Lord, let this be worship unto you. Let stacking chairs, getting the bins out for children's ministry, let this be an aroma, a sweet aroma to you, O Lord. Let it be worship. We must not wish for some other kind of gifting or function that we might have, or begin to imagine that we cannot be useful, that we don't have a purpose. Don't allow that thinking in. If only I could sing like Sam Pagel, right? It would bless those around me for sure in the audience, but audience, that's not right. In the congregation. Man, oh, how it would be easier if I could just lead this lesson like Josh would or something like that. Don't be discontent with where the Sovereign King has placed you. Remember that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. They're beneficial and to be honored. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We see that in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 12. So people with the speaking gifts tend to get more recognition, but those with gifts that are viewed as less prominent are sometimes referred to as those behind-the-scenes people. I know that the behind-the-scenes type roles can seem like they don't really matter, or that they have minimal effectiveness at times. I know that feeling, but remember that the Lord sees it all. Set up and tear down is just as vital as taking care of infants, is just as vital as leading worship from the front. This is God's beloved church. We are all vital members of it. We recognize everyone's usefulness and fruit bearing in the body. Again, we are all vital members one to another. We are what God has brought together. We are all peers in the body, no matter what God has given us to do. We are all sheep here. Jesus Christ alone is the head of the church. We are under his authority. Our elders are under shepherds under Christ. But remember, they are sheep too. They need input into their lives and sharpening in prayer just as we do. We're all in this together. So that brings us to how do I know where to serve? How do I know where to serve? That bullet point. How do I know where to serve? Look for needs to be met in the diverse body of Christ. There are always a variety of needs in the church, both informal and formal. Informal ways to serve would be best found in through a close connection to fellowship group or being around others in the church. Some examples of informal service could be taking a meal to a family when you're sick, if you're not on the team, the Helping Hands team. But think of the one another's in fellowship group. Pray for the body. Be hospitable and invite the new family over to your house. I think of the informal ways that Ann will periodically reach out to Bethany and say, bring the kids to Chick-fil-A, let's just catch up. One quick story of an informal way that's been super beneficial to me. I noticed in our fellowship group that some of the guys were struggling like me in a particular area of sin. And I'd met up with Josh and asked him if there may be a book or something that we could go through, maybe even an auxiliary study type thing. And he said, yeah, that would be great. Here are a couple of book recommendations, and then we were off and running. It was so beneficial to me, and I know the other guys, that we just gathered in my house every other week and went through a book together, and life on life. It was really, really quite amazing to see the Lord work. There's formal ways of service. I would describe a formal way of service would be an intentional commitment to a long-term service in a formal ministry within the church. Think set up and tear down, or the music ministry, children's ministry, etc. Our service should flow out of an immersion into the body. We should have that continual desire to serve one another. Remember, the needs are as varied as the people. They vary as much as life and circumstance, trouble and trials, joys and sorrows. We need to be connected with one another. You will know the needs of one another when you are engaged in body life. When I was the facilities manager at GBC, I got the unique opportunity to work with the event coordinators and to be behind the scenes on so many different things. Weddings and funerals, they always stand out. It's truly incredible to see the body working in all these ways of service to care for others, both informal and formal ways. I need to remember that this is Christ's bride, and God is doing something in each person's life. Look for ways to help those people in areas in which God is working. That's where the greatest needs are. That leads us into the next bullet point: be intentional in body life. Fellowship group is so important here. This is how we practically live out the one another's that we see in Scripture. You will know the needs of the body much better when you're connected to the body. I got to be a part of and see the church body working in some amazing ways. Even I still do now, but thinking back to my time at GBC as facilities, had I been on the periphery, I would have missed. I would have missed being a part of things like the Bible Wall Project, an informal way of service in that. To meet Brian Iserman and work through that project together, and to think, man, Brian and his family are like a living example of service in the church. There's lots of formal and informal ways that he and his family serve. What a blessing it is to be at the right place at the right time to know him. So make connections within the body and be available to service when needs arise. When you walk into fellowship group, meet people, talk to them, be intentional, learn their needs, and seek to meet them. Don't wait for someone to reach out to you. Reach out and take the initiative. Seek to be more like Christ and utilize the gift that God has given you. I've heard it said that God may use you with 1,000 people in the same way, or he may use you with the same person in 1,000 different ways. So meet needs. Look for those needs. There are needs more, not just on Saturday, but every day during the week. Remember the biblical motivations: to grow in godliness, to abstain from wickedness, right? Remember Jesus' teaching that it is better to give than receive. I am not serving to fulfill my internal desires, to serve myself selfishly, to receive, but I am serving to give of myself for the benefit of others. I can trust God in this. I can trust him that it is better to give than to receive. Lastly, let's look at the last bullet point. My heart, my family, my church. How much should I do? How much should I be involved? How much should I do? How much should I be involved? I think your own heart shepherding is key in this. Evaluate your commitment level. Do you have the ability to commit well to this area of service that you're considering? Get input from your spouse if you're married, or bring an elder or your fellowship group leader into this discussion. Are you overcommitted already? What are you filling your schedule with? Have you had the past 8 evenings filled with good things, and you get to fellowship group night and you come home from work and there's barely enough time to get dinner down, and then it's off to fellowship group? You may think to yourself that it'd be so nice to just not go and have a quiet night at home, and you say, we just need to rest. Some downtime would be nice. Maybe there's a sporting event on. That's a little convicting. I'm not going to say it's necessarily wrong to take a night off. Don't come to group if you're sick. But let's be sober-minded about this. The body needs you, and the body needs me. I know for me in that situation, just what I need is a shot in the arm, some fellowship with my brothers, and some rejuvenation from being with one another. Maybe I need to think about what am I committed to? Has the church become the first thing on the chopping block? Is it worth to make a sacrifice to be at a fellowship group? Absolutely. I know Bethany and I have talked a lot about our commitments and what are we modeling to our kids when it comes to church attendance and serving others. How are we leading our homes in this? What is our first priority? I know one thing that's convicting to me is when you can't make it to church on Saturday, for whatever reason, they're all lots of valid ones, right? But do we watch the service or listen to it as a family to catch up? Wouldn't it be sweet for all of us to serve in the church with our spouse, significant other, or our families? That would be great to be in the same ministry and do that. Sometimes that's not available. I've seen some families do this well in a way that one spouse would take the kids into the church to free up the other to sing or to be in children's or on security. There's unique ways to serve in the body. It's important to remember back to the beginning. To number one, the first bullet point, God's design for growth in the church. As believers, we are to be part of the church. We are to bear fruit. We need to be in each other's lives, and we are all vital members of the body. Now, some caveats to talk through. We shouldn't be neglecting our responsibilities in our homes to get straight to ministry, to get straight to service in the church. This is where that leapfrogging phrase comes up again and again. We can't leapfrog over our homes to get to teach in kinder class or whatever. The opposite meaning would be we should be investing and leading in our families in the Lord while teaching or serving in some way in the church. So let's hit on this relationship of D2 and D3 a little more. I think some have used the disciplines and the concept of not wanting to leapfrog over your home to get to D3 as an excuse not to do D3. Remember, the church is God's gift for us. It's God's gift to us for our own holiness, and it is God's gift to us in how we truly can care well for our household. I think the main idea is not to be a hypocrite with this, to do some sort of hyper service within the church and leave your family behind, or to do the opposite and let's just only work on our family and not get to the church. These points are not meant to compete against each other, but to complement each other. So to summarize this last section, my heart, my family, my church, and how does this all fit together? Our heart should be drawing closer to God by his word, and out of that comes a desire to honor the Lord in the way that we lead and love our families, and a love for and desire to serve God through his church. Remember, Christ is worthy of our whole life devotion. My mantra for my life ever since the Lord saved me is that Christ died for me, therefore I want to live for him. It's been a constant reminder in my head. He has taken this dead man and brought me to new life in Christ. That should make us look different. We should love the church. So that wraps up our time together today, looking over service in the church. I want to thank you for having me here, and hopefully we'll have some time for discussion groups. Let me pray for us, then we move on to the next thing. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time looking at your word together. Thank you for the way it's been working in my heart. God, we love you. You are worthy of our whole life's devotion. Father, help us today as we go through this busy Saturday. Lord, I pray that you would bless it, that we would honor you with our decisions, with where we spend our time. And I pray for the service this evening, that you would be honored and glorified through it. And it's in your son's name we pray.